great encouragement this week. I was supposed to share with you all, and I forgot to do it, from both Pastor Harold down in TRC and Pastor Adams, and Pastor Sykes down in Deming. They texted and said they're praying for us, excited about what God's doing, and just wanted us to keep on trucking, keep going, stay faithful. And they wanted me to let you know that they're praying for us. They're so excited to see what God's going to do here in the days ahead. So thank you for being so faithful. And we're going to be in John 4. John 4, we started last week looking at true worship. Kind of today is a little bit of a part two to that. And we're going to see what the Lord says about worship and what it is. Now, again, I said last week as we started out, there's a skewed vision or view of what worship is today. And some of you folks have been in churches where the church's emphasis was all worship and no doctrine or no scripture, no study. And obviously, if you were to ask that pastor, that person there, they would say, oh, of course we have doctrine. Of course we do this and that. But I think the emphasis, as you know, for our church is going to be that. And so we see here in John 4, you know, Jesus is speaking to that woman at the well. And he says there in verse 21 that Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh. Ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. The hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in what? Spirit and in truth. Truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now notice what she says in verse 25. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah is cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Now we're looking at on Sunday nights about God is not mysterious. God is not holding something from you. God is not some code you have to decipher to figure out, right? He's clear. He said to the woman, I'm the Messiah. I'm he. And we understand here as he lays out for this woman what true worship is. Now we looked at what worship means last week. We saw that it is obviously a reverence, a falling down upon the knees, such as to kiss the hand or the forehead and in respect and all of that. That was the Greek definition. Our English word obviously means the same expression of worship and other things. I won't get into that there today. And so we saw that. What is worship? We saw number two, what is the correct object of our worship. We're not to worship any other gods. And sometimes we, as I said last week, we think of a god as a little golden or silver figurine or figure, and it's not. Today, whatever has your heart can become a god very easily, can it? For me, I know it can, very easily. And we're clear throughout Scripture that we can become our own god, and that's a negative thing, not a good thing. That's the first lie that Satan gave to the people, didn't he? You can become gods, your own god, by the way. Make your own decisions, have your own authority. That's a problem today with our society. We're teaching our children especially that they can have their own authority. They are their own authority. They are. The number one religion today in America is no religion at all. And when you have no religion or no belief in a god, you have your own god. You're your own god. It's called humanism. We come back to that. We just talked about some of that. We must not worship other gods. Clearly, Exodus 20. They came out of Egypt. They had a plethora of gods. And he said, I am one. Aren't you thankful today we have one God? Wow. I'm so thankful. I was watching a documentary the other night on those Hindus in India. Those poor people. They worship, I think they have, I can't recall, but somewhere around umpteen million gods that they have in some kind of list somewhere. They have to worship. My friends, you ought to thank God today that you have one God. And by the way, he doesn't expect a lot out of us. He doesn't expect very much at all. In fact, in the Old Testament, he gave how many commands? Just 10. Pick up your room, clean, no, right? Just 10. And those people couldn't even keep it. They blew it. And we see here, God does not expect a lot out of you. He really doesn't. And it would behoove you to get on board with God and do what he's asked you to do. And you say, well, I don't know what to do, Brother Tim. The Bible is very clear. It's in detail. This woman at the well said, well, I know this much. I know Messiah is coming. See, she knew a little bit. And Jesus said, well, I'm him. Oh, okay. Wait, what? Explain that. Isn't that people today? Here's the truth. People go, what is truth? You know, what are you talking? There's got to be something more to it. Jesus is very clear. Jesus is very concise. Let me move here. We must not worship, obviously, before images, and we saw that. We know that. We must not worship angels. The Bible's clear in that. Colossians 2 says we must not worship anything of that state of an angelic being. As you know today, many people, they see a vision in their room, and they, as we talked about on Sunday night, and they go, oh, I saw an angelic being, and he told me to bow down and worship him. Well, there is an angelic being who commands people to worship him, isn't there? His name is Lucifer. And we understand Scripture. We don't worship an angel. And we said that last week. John bowed down before the individual he was speaking to in the book of Revelation. The man said, stand up, don't worship me. Worship only Christ. We know that, understand. Peter did the same. And we went through all of that. We must not worship. Then here next, we must not worship men. We must not worship men. Religious leaders, entertainers, family, figures, sports figures, athletes. We must not worship friends. We must not worship self. These are clear, elementary things, but often we get sidetracked. We must not worship money. Money. I don't know about you, but my blood pressure goes up when I think about money. Anybody else like that? It said on average that the average person wakes up, they're already thinking about money by 8 a.m. Already thinking, even if you're still asleep, you're thinking, you know, you're dreaming about money. Your blood pressure goes up and you're going either good or bad. Isn't that true? And so we see here that we must not focus our attention on what we're supposed to focus on. That's on Christ. That's on Him. Worship Him. We must not worship things. 1 John 2:15. We must worship the Lord our God. Now, let me skip ahead. Now, what is the proper conduct of worship? Again, God requires holiness from His worshipers, those who would worship Him. Now, let's come back to our text. Jesus goes on as He begins here, and He talks to the woman about what? In particular, He says, woman, I know you've in fact had many husbands. And she said, I perceive thou art a prophet. And on we go. What is the context there? What is the idea there? Well, that, what? He expects or requires holiness out of His worshipers. He's asking. Now, she got right with God, obviously, and she went home, the Bible says, and she told all of them, verse 29, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city, came unto Him. She said, I can't help. Remember what Peter and John said later in the book of Acts? We can't help but talk about what Jesus done for us. We can't help it. It's in our blood, our DNA. I've been regened. I've been regenerated. I can't help it. I've got to talk about it. We were talking with a guy this week, Ed, I think it was, and he said, well, you can't help but talk about it, you know. And that's so true, isn't it? As we understand this, we worship God. Now, you know that. It requires a public assembly. It deserves our very best. Our very best. I won't hit on some things here. I'll save that for another time. But our very best. You know that. Our very best. Our very best clothing. Our very best behavior. Our very best music. Our very best handling of the word. And on we could go. Just in general, our very best. Our very best. Exodus 19, verse 10, listen, He says, and the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. For the third day, the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. What's He saying? You guys get ready. You don't show up in your pajamas and, you know, whatever you want to do. No, you get ready. I'm coming to meet with you. Oh, what a church this would be, and many churches, if we would prepare ourselves to meet with God. Do you know today this is where we meet God? This is where God has asked us to meet. This is where God wants to meet with us. Now He'll meet with you anywhere, won't He? Your house, your car. I love that about our Savior. But truly, we come together and He's put the church here for us. He loved the church and died for the church. Our best behavior. Let me say quickly here, number four. What hinders true worship, though? So we saw what worship is, but what hinders it? Can I say, first of all, there's something called self-will. Self-will. Now let's go to Leviticus chapter 10, because I want you to see this incident in Scripture. Leviticus chapter 10, this incident in Scripture, very interesting to tie in here. Leviticus 10, verse 1, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, notice this, took either of them his censer and put fire therein, and put incense therein. Now that's good, okay, that's what they're supposed to do. But notice this, and offered what? Strange fire before the Lord, which He commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake. He already said it, Aaron, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I'll be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. Aaron knew he was wrong. Aaron knew his sons were wrong. And there was nothing left of the two sons. I mean, they swept those guys up into a trash bucket. They were ashes. But notice that. Yes, they were to put a censer. Yes, they were to put fire therein. Yes, they were to do incense. Yes, but he didn't command it. And you know, some people do that. We're here, we're worshiping, we're doing all that we're supposed to. Wait, are you doing it God's way though? It's God's way. It's the way God wants it done. How do I know what to do? We have a book, 66 books, written by over 40 different authors, and yet every book in this Bible is cohesive, isn't it? From Genesis 1 to Revelation, it's cohesive. The Bible never contradicts itself, never will, never has. And again, you'd be very wise to get yourself into this Bible, but notice, he did not command. He didn't command it. It was strange fire. There's a lot of worship today that's we think about. You would watch it and see it and go, boy, they love the Lord. They're praising God. Are they doing it, though, according to the Bible? Are they following the commands of the Lord? Let me give you an example. People will worship God and worship the Lord in the church, and they will make statements or in the lyrics of the songs. It's contradictory to the Bible. You ever heard songs like that? And the Spirit saith, and this and go, and you must speak in tongues and be slain in the Spirit and all these things. And if you don't, you may not be saved. That's against the Bible. And study your Bibles and you'll find out very quickly. Fifth grade education could read this Bible. That's fifth grade reading level. And it's contradictory to the Bible. Now again, coming back to, yeah, they're worshiping the Lord, but is it according to what he commanded? Now what hinders it? Self-will. Nadab and Abihu took and said, we'll go ahead and do it our way. But did God command you? No, we'll do it our way. Can I say worldliness? What hinders true worship? Worldliness. 2 Corinthians 6, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now we're to reach unbelievers. We're to pray for unbelievers. We're to love unbelievers, aren't we? We're to be a testimony and example to unbelievers. But we are not to be yoked together with. Who are we to be yoked together with? Jesus Christ. Christ said, take my yoke upon you. And I love the story, the analogy of that, the word picture. You and Christ are yoked together and you're going step for step with Christ, aren't you? He steps forward and you're lagging behind. That yoke helps you catch up. He goes forward or you go forward and he's still standing still. You're going to get, And that's the Lord helping us and guiding us. He doesn't let us fall on our face and then go, I told you, Tim, man. Oh, I'm sorry, Lord, I got to pick all. No, he's there for to help us. Don't go over there, Tim. You're going to fall off the cliff, you know. Stay. Let me help you. Yoke together. Don't be yoked up with the world. Why? They go directly away from God, away from him. Let me say, what's hindering true worship in our lives? A critical, unforgiving spirit, maybe pride. These are things we all deal with. But again, coming back to, I'm not saying just the worship of a church. You to think of the song service and worshiping. I'm talking about your personal worship as well, my personal worship. Are you worshiping the Lord? Taking time. You know, God just wants to hear you occasionally say, I love you, Lord, and thank you. Thank you. I love you. You don't have to go and stand on the top of your car and yell it out. I mean, that might be a good idea, but probably not. You do it in your car. You can do it silently. I don't know how many times have you done this. I've done this. I'm driving down the road or something. Somebody asked me a question, especially. They go, Brother Tim, I have a question. Immediately I go, oh, Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, help me. Help me. What are they going to say? And it's usually, you know, do you like bologna or ham? You know, I don't know what it is. It's something simple, but some of you folks deal with people all day long. All of you guys do. I know it. You men. And big questions, hard questions. You got to deal with big responsibilities. And you got to be asking God, God, I want to be in step with you. And the way you get in step with Christ, Jesus, is what? You spend time in worship with him. Daily worship. Oh, recently the Lord's been waking me up in the middle of the night. Anyone else like that? I know you guys. And you're going, oh man. And I've gotten to spend some time with the Lord, which I greatly need. And I know that. But we think about, are you spending time with him? Worship. What hinders true worship? As we think about this, I have a little book I've been reading, and it's very interesting. And it goes through, he's talking particularly about maybe some of the doctrinal failures of the churches today. But let me read some things to you here. The way we worship today, the postmodern way, says one man, is an experience. The journey is more wandering than directional. Now that's not biblical, isn't it? It's experience. Oh, I just want to experience. It's more wandering than directional. It's just whatever happens, happens. Wherever I go, right? No, the Bible's clear. He says also in the music scene, by way of churches today, it's really cool to search for God, but it's not very cool to find Him. It's not very cool. It's searching for God. I want to search for God. Search for God. Well, God's right here. God's right here. I think it was Mark Twain said. He had a businessman come to him one time and he said, "You know what I'm going to do?" Mark Twain said, "What's that?" He said, "I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to stand in the Temple Mount there, and I'm going to quote the Ten Commandments." And Mark Twain said, "Well, that's great." He said, "How about you just stay right where you are and keep them?" God doesn't expect us to do something like that, does He? Keep them. Don't search. There's a constant search for God, constant search to find some kind of experience. And by the way, we don't go off a feeling, we go off a fact. Remember what happened? A big mistake with Isaac. What happened? She said, "Go in and tell your father, Jacob, that you're Esau." Jacob said, "You sure about that?" Yeah. She put the fur on his arm, on his neck. And he went in and it said Isaac couldn't see. He was blind. He was old. And what did he say? "Who are you?" Jacob said, "Esau." You know, "Esau. You don't sound like Esau. Are you Jacob?" "Oh, I'm Esau." "Mm-hmm. Come here, let me feel." Felt his arm. "You are Esau." What did Isaac? Went off of feeling instead of the word that he heard or the facts, the Bible. And my friends, we need to be very cautious about that. You get a funny feeling, a fuzzy feeling, immediately, can I encourage you, seek the Lord. Lord, Holy Spirit, is that from you? And the Lord's not going to go play some game with you. He's going to answer you. He's going to answer you. You know that. Elijah in the cave, as we talked about a few weeks ago, the cave. He was hiding. He was depressed. He was discouraged. He was all those things. And we went through that. But God said, "Come out. Come out and stand. And stand." And when you're discouraged, my friend, can I encourage you again? Don't cower in the cave. Go stand. Stand. The best time to stand for Christ is when you're maybe the lowest. Because what happens? It recharges you. But He calls them out. And what happens? The earthquake, the fire, all those things. And you got to be in this, Lord. Where was He? Still small voice. "I'm over here, Elijah. I'm over here." What does that come back? Our worship with God. Are you spending time with Him? I'm saying. Seeking God. Seeking biblical worship. And my friends, today, we may not have the best things. We may not have the greatest and most dynamic song leader. Don't say anything. We may not have the best facility. We may not have the best thing. But let me say something. You ought to thank God that we're a church that's doctrinally sound, doctrinally pure, that stands by the Bible and sticks with the Bible. Yeah, we can be a little stiff sometimes, but what are we doing? How you handle truth determines what you'll do with error. How you handle the truth or what you do with it determines how you'll handle the error. You uphold the truth. Any error that comes in? No. I'm sorry. No. No. But that truth starts to dilute a little bit. Well, error starts coming in. And you allow it in. And before you know it, you are contaminated and you are compromised. Okay, let me finish up on my last point here. As we see here. Now, we're to be filled. How do we worship God properly? Let me say this. And we'll continue this next week. We're to be filled with the Spirit. Obviously, what's required? What's required? First of all, separation from sin. Willingness to stop loving the world. Willingness to die to self. We talked about some of these already. And so the motive, what are your motives? Not filled for self-glory. Not for personal experience. Well, if I come to church and I feel good. If I read the Bible and I feel... You ever read the Bible and you don't feel good? I read the Bible the other morning and I didn't like it. Why? Because it hit home. I didn't like that. You ever pray? You feel like praying? You don't wake up every morning feel like praying. I know I don't. Praise God, I get to get up early and pray for an hour or whatever. You don't feel that way. Again, coming back to personal experience. He does not always fill us to win vast numbers to Christ. He doesn't fill us to glorify ourselves. He does it to glorify Jesus Christ. Now again, coming back to some of these things, and I don't want to get ahead and hit on some of these. I want to keep them and go into more detail next week. But let me just say this. Speaking in tongues is not filled with the Spirit and is not true worship. I say that because there is a lot out there today, in particular, a lot of material written that say you must speak in tongues to truly worship Christ. That's an evidence of the Spirit. It's not. It's not. Clearly. We'll get into that some of that next week. But it's not. Being slain in the Spirit. How many have heard of that? Slain in the Spirit. You're slain in the Spirit, brother? Nope. It's not biblical. It is not biblical. Now we are living the crucified life. He does enter in, but notice, we are to be filled. Filled is a commandment. At the moment of salvation, you are indwelt with the Spirit. You don't do anything to get that. The Holy Spirit comes in and dwells. But to be filled with the Spirit, that's our job, isn't it? It's a command. You be filled. And again, Ephesians talks about that. We see here, what's the effect of it? Now we'll get to it and I'll wrap it up. True worship. True worship. Now let's go to Ephesians 5, all the way forward here. Ephesians 5, real quick. And thank you for bringing your Bibles, Ephesians 5. And notice with me, Ephesians 5, let's jump down. Let's go to verse 18. Ephesians 5, 18, again, he says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves, your own husbands, as unto the Lord. The husband is the head of the wife, even the Christ, as Christ is the head of the church. He's a Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now notice verse 26. I'm skipping verse 25. Okay, I'll read it. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it. Now notice this. He might sanctify, cleanse it with the washing of water by the what? The word. He might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Spot and wrinkle. Now, thinking through this, true worship, understanding of the scriptures, understanding what he's asked us to do. This is what he's saying. We have an obligation to serve Christ. We have an obligation to follow through. We have an obligation, as he says there in verse 18, be filled with the Spirit. That's your job. That's your responsibility. Shame on you and shame on me for not being filled with the Spirit, because it's no one else's responsibility. It's ours. Are you walking in the Spirit? Are you speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, making melody? Are you giving thanks? See, these are all indicators that you're filled with the Spirit. Are you submitting yourselves? Notice, one to another. Wives, I said last week, wives and husbands, it's not this, it's this. We're submitted under Christ. And when we do, we have that. We have all that we need in Christ. Now again, the church is subject to Christ. So we see here, true worship. Can I say it also gives us Christ-likeness? Christ-likeness. Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed, notice, to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. See, he sets the example for us. We follow it through. The Holy Spirit is making us more and more like Jesus Christ. It's called sanctification, setting apart, making us holy. We have a perfect standing with God, which is without sin. Positional sanctification. Now again, two aspects to that. We are saved. We have a right standing with God at salvation, right? But there's something that we do, progressively sanctifying. Positionally, we're sanctified. We're set apart. We're one of His children. Progressive sanctification is that daily process that we work at. Abstaining from sin, submitting ourselves to Christ, living for Him, being filled with the Spirit, rejoicing in Him, all of those things we looked at a few weeks ago about the fruit of the Spirit. Christ-likeness. Let me say lastly, the service. There's service involved. We follow and submit as we see here in Ephesians. John 7:38, he says, he that believeth on me and the scripture hath saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. Now in order for this flow from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to be unhindered, we must be filled by Him. Then and only then can we effectively walk in the good works God has ordained for us. Again, Ephesians 2:10, we are His workmanship, created in Him. Now, thinking through this, are you truly worshiping Christ today? These are effects of it. Christ-likeness, service, submission, right? All these things. Trusting Him, true holiness. He expects that out of His children, worshiping Him. Are you worshiping the Savior today? Are you following through? Are you truly asking God, I want to know what you want me to do and how to do it? And we see that throughout Scripture. But I was reading and studying recently the life of Solomon, and he was given a great task. He was given a task to build his own house, but in particular more what? The temple. And Solomon got alone with God one day, and he came, and what fascinated me was Solomon prayed, and he said, in essence, Lord, I have no idea what I'm doing. I cannot lead thy people, which are like the sand of the sea. I don't know how to go out and come in. I need your wisdom. I need your wisdom. God said, you don't want riches? No. You don't want fame? You don't want power? No. I want wisdom. And he said, because you asked for wisdom, I'll give you everything you didn't ask for, right? And he went down in history as the wisest man and the wealthiest man to ever live. But he admitted he had no idea what he was doing. And then he prayed and he asked Huram, of king of Tyre, I don't know if you remember this. He said, send me a man that knows how to build and send me material that I can build the house of God. Solomon didn't say, I'll handle it, I'll do it. He said, send me people that know what they're doing. Surround me with people that know what they're doing and let us build something great for God. And I thought about that. Today, we have a church. Thankful for you folks in here that know what you're doing because I have no idea what I'm doing. But you think about it, God is willing to provide to us everything we need to fulfill His will. God is providing everything in your life that you need to fulfill His will for your life. And you may not listen to me today. You may not hear the Word of God today, but I'm telling you something, brother or sister. One day you will hear the Word of God. One day you will. And I'd encourage you here, take time while you have this life. I read a quote just recently. Life isn't short. People say life is so short. It's not short. We waste so much time in life. Life is long. We got a lot of years. We just waste a lot of time. Can I encourage you? Don't waste time. Don't waste. You have to work, but don't waste time. You have to do some things, yeah, but don't waste time. Take time. And can I emphasize, take a large chunk of your day, or a mornings especially a very important time of your day, and worship God. Worship Him. Worship the Lord because it sets you up for a good day in Him. You may have a bad day, but internally, you're having a good day. People mock you, criticize you, hard, stressful job, whatever. Internally, you're set, you're settled. The peace of God rules in your heart. Are you worshiping God the correct way today? All right, Lord, thank you for an opportunity to share your word today. I thank you for the grace you bestowed upon us and upon our church, and I pray that you'd help us. We're in need, Lord, of your direction and your help. We want to know how to worship you properly. We want to do it your way. Father, show us the things that we're missing, and God, give us the strength to do that which you want us to do. We love and thank you. God, be with those here today. Each one of us will go our separate way today. Some will go and work, and others will go and prepare for the week ahead for work. And Lord, I pray you'd bless their lives, empower them, protect them, put your hedge about them, and Lord, help them to fulfill your will today. You've provided everything we need to fulfill your will. Lord, help us to do it, to be filled with the Spirit. We love and thank you, God. Thank you for your time today, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen.